How do I handle getting ghosted?
What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast. I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler. We're brothers.
We're therapists.
We're not afraid of your questions.
So bring it.
All right, Tyler. That sounds like a great Halloween question. So we'll get into it. But quickly, here we go again. Another review. It says, real, honest, and kind, no spouse bashing, no shaming, and refreshingly optimistic. I love the attitude of tackling the hard stuff to not only save the marriage, but thrive within the relationship. So, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
We really try to stay away from the bashing of people. Except for you tried to bash Joel Osteen, but I didn't allow it.
I thought we came to the consensus that we shouldn't bash Joel Osteen.
That's well, yes, we did. You came around. You came around, but at first you wanted to just rip on Joel.
I'm not sure that's how it played out, but yeah. I still contend that I'd love to see some skincare tips from Joel.
What do you mean?
That guy seems like ageless to me, man.
Oh, it's just his smile. He's just, you put a smile like that on anyone, and all you notice is the smile.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. All right. So you got a question here?
Yeah, we got a question here. Yeah, we got a question here. This is about being ghosted, and I'll just read it to you. It says, I started seeing a guy at the end of July, and I was seeing him for a month, nearly every week. The last time I saw him was on the 6th of September, and we had so much fun. The last time I spoke to him was on the 9th of September. I asked him out on a date, and he said he was busy on that day. I replied back, but he read it and never replied. I haven't heard from him since. I don't know if I should let it be or to check up on him and see if he's okay. However, I'm nervous that I will embarrass myself if he is trying to pull away and is not interested. But it upsets me that he's decided to ghost me and not say anything. Even if he doesn't want to progress anything with me, I would still like to know. I feel like I'm in some sort of limbo. So I'm guessing the question is, what should I do? Should I respond to this guy and find out and define the relationship? Or should I just let myself slink off into the shadows and assume that he's not interested anymore?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's a dilemma that a lot of people end up in. And so... And I do think as we talk about this, I think we can talk more broadly about rejection or abandonment mm-hmm. and those type of feelings. First off, one thing, Tyler can, he accuses me of being kind of blunt sometimes. So I'm going to be blunt here. He is okay. He ghosted you. He's not dead in a ditch somewhere. And that part of you that wants to check up on him to make sure he's okay is that part of you that still wants connection with him, and that part of you that liked him, and the part of you that doesn't want to face the reality that he has rejected you. Would you, Tyler, what do you think? I mean, I don't know for sure because I don't know who this guy is. He might be dead in a ditch. I hope he's not. But it sounds like you're trying to give yourself a reason to try to continue to get his attention.
I see this all the time, Brandon. I think it would be better off just being forward and being honest with yourself instead of, you know, saying that I need to check up on him. So many times I'm working with somebody who's kind of in the same situation where they're getting like basically ghosted by somebody. And their excuse for doing the constant reaching out is because I need to check up on them and make sure they're okay. But really, the bigger issue is that I'm feeling really insecure and my anxiety, my anxious attachment is starting to come out. And so I'm going to use the excuse of checking in on them as the reason why I'm going to keep reaching out.
Right.
Because in some ways, and I think they're doing it because they don't want to actually come face to face with the perceived rejection that actually might be happening.
Right. I think, okay, so let's put ourselves in in her shoes. Okay. So she really sounds like she really liked this guy. She was excited about the possibility of this relationship and really liked this guy.
Yes.
And it seemed like there wasn't much signs, and maybe there was, but she wasn't seeing them. But wasn't much signs that this guy was going to do this, ghost her.
Sounded like things were progressing in the right direction.
Yeah. So in a lot of ways, blindsided.
Yeah.
Like, boom. Like, what? Like, okay, you want nothing to do with me? The feelings of when you get rejected like that, feelings of grief, feelings of anger even, or sadness, or
doubt.
Confusion. Shame, self-doubt. Those are all normal feelings when you get rejected, okay? But the beauty of it is those are feelings that you can sort through on your own and you can come to terms with, and you can realize that you are okay even if this person doesn't want you in their life. And I make that sound easy, but the beauty of this is you have the power within you to process this pain and to come out stronger on the other end and to be okay. And so what won't fix the pain is ruminating and trying to draw him back in, trying to figure out how to get him to give you a resolution, get him to like you again, get him to do something so that then you're okay. That will actually keep you stuck. You're in a bargaining stage of grief where you're saying, well, if I do this or if I do that, this could change it. That'll keep you stuck, as opposed to, like Tyler was saying, face the reality, get to work on yourself and your own pain, process through those emotions that are valid, work through them, and you'll start to feel some peace in your life.
Yes, and I believe that's possible whether or not you actually go and have a conversation with this person. You can do that. You can do that work and that healing regardless of whether or not you have that, you know, conversation. I think something that's really interesting in these situations, when you're pursuing relationship and you're wanting somebody so badly to feel the same level that you feel at, that you'll chase it and chase it and chase it. And I believe that a lot of times, if you were to get that guy reengaged, he may reengage out of the wrong reasons. He may reengage because of his own guilt or because of his own shame or because he doesn't want to see the pain that you're going to be feeling. And ultimately, it's hard and it's a difficult place to be, and the emotions are definitely real and raw, as they should be. Like, that's the stage of life you're at. You're in the dating world. You're going to be sifting through lots of different people, and it hurts when you finally find someone that feels compatible. But at the end of the day, why would we want to chase a relationship to convince somebody to stay with us instead of go and put the work in to find and cultivate the relationship where you don't have to convince somebody to be with you? Like, we all want to be with someone who's choosing us because they want to choose us, not because they're being coerced into it.
And by the way, and I don't know if this will make you feel better or not, but I'm going to say it. You don't want a relationship with a person like that. And I do want to speak to the ghoster here for a minute. You're a coward to ghost somebody like that. And I don't know your reasons, but it's not cool.
There's no character in that. You're right, Brandon. And of course, we don't know the reasons why this guy is ghosting her, you know.
But to ghost somebody, to lead somebody on and then not have the guts to actually reject, to actually say, you know what, I'm sorry, this is where I'm at, and this is where, you know, this is how I feel about our relationship. It's an easy out that does cause some damage and confusion to the other person, who's wondering what in the world.
Absolutely, Brandon. And we live in a world, though, that it's so common. Like, I would bet, maybe it's just the world we live in, but I would bet that the natural breakup these days is more likely to be a ghost than it is a real conversation. And I guess part of me wonders, like, what's wrong with, why is it so prevalent? Like, why is that almost an acceptable way to end a relationship now? To just sort of like
yeah,
just disappear.
Well, it's the age of keyboard courage, right? If I can hide behind that and not have a real conversation with somebody, then I don't have to be vulnerable. And you know what? If you've ever gotten ghosted, I think across the board, do you want a relationship with somebody who can't look you in the eye and be honest and deal with hard stuff and work through hard things? No, you don't. So it's actually, you're better off not getting more wrapped into a relationship with a person like that. Although it still hurts. The rejection still hurts and it's still hard. But if they ghosted you then they want to come back and have a relationship with you, then dump them.
unless there's like some contriteness and some willingness to work, you know, I mean, but
sure,
yeah, right.
Yes, people can change. Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. Like, there's obviously some feeling that you've got there, Brandon, about this. And I tend to agree with you that I think it would be better to have an actual real conversation. We as human beings are so, especially in the dating world, especially when we're like trying to find someone who could be our partner, our spouse, we are looking for secure attachment. We're wired that way. And so even if it's in a dating relationship that you've only dated a couple of times, there is an attachment wound that gets opened up when that relationship disintegrates. And there's a healthy way to do it, and there's an unhealthy way. Go ahead.
Tyler, isn't there such thing, and I'm just kind of making this up, but that like it's kind of like figurative ghosting in marriage. And what I mean by this is when a partner comes to their spouse and they have something really hard, difficult to talk about, something really important, and the other spouse shuts down, shuts off, avoids, and doesn't go there with them. Just refuses to actually address it, to go there, won't have that. Nope. The answer is nope. I'm disconnected.
I think you're defining stonewalling, and stonewalling, I guess if you really wanted to think about it, is just emotional ghosting.
Yeah.
Inside the relationship, or the other way that you ghost people in your relationships is, even if you keep the relationship, is that you commit to something that you're going to do for them, or they ask you to help out with something and you say yes, and then you never actually follow through on it.
You just don't show up at all.
Yeah, it's about not showing up. And when you don't show up, it just like erodes any level of trust that you could have in a relationship.
Right.
And it definitely leaves an impact. And in this question's case, you can tell like she's hurting. She started to open her heart up. She started to think this could be a possibility. The least you could do is have some common decency to say, hey, thanks so much for the good times. It doesn't feel like it's the right fit. That one conversation, that helps her move on so much faster than, oh, I wonder what happened, what's wrong with me, and da-da-da-da-da.
So, okay, so stonewalling or not showing up in a marriage, you would say, let's say my wife came to me with a really hard topic, and it's like really difficult and emotional. What you're saying is it would be better for me to look my wife in the eye and say, that's really hard for me. I can't have that conversation right now. I can feel that it's not going to go well. I'm going to say the wrong things. I'm not going to handle it well. I can't do that right now. And own that rather than, I mean, the best case scenario is I have the conversation. Best case scenario is I connect and we have intimacy and we work through some things. But if I can't do that, then at least have the decency or the courage to step into the reality that I can't do that, which then helps her understand, okay, like this is really hard for him. I know what's going on. I can be patient. If I just disappear, then it, like you say, it erodes trust. It leaves her in this state of wonder, confusion, mixed with probably some resentment and sadness and fear or whatever else is in there. I just don't know. I don't know where he's at or what's going on or how he feels. And so, I think in any relationship, show up in integrity and courage and own who you are. That's basically what we're getting to.
Yes. And integrity and courage leads to empathy. You know, it's like what you're describing in marriage. And this happens a lot, Brandon, like in our marriage therapy that we do, I'm sure you see it a ton. It's like one or the other partner will bring up a big topic like that, and it'll be kind of like the Dumb and Dumber clip where he walks out of 7-Eleven and he's like, "Big gulps, huh? Well, see you later." Like, okay, oh, so there's this issue. Yep, well, see you later. Like, good luck with that.
Big gulps,
I'm
going
to go watch TV, or I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go be a workaholic. Right? You know, and it's like, yeah, that does damage to the relationship. And even being honest at least shows that you are worthy of a response. Right.
Yeah.
And so I can say, hey, I'm not in the right space to talk about this.
So what you're saying is to speak rejection is actually less rejection than to ghost somebody.
It's in some ways it's validating, right? Mm-hmm. Like if this guy would have just had a single phone call that could have been 2 minutes and just said, "You're a great girl. I don't think we're a good fit. I'm moving in a different direction. I'm seeing someone else," whatever it is, that would hurt her. And she would be able to get some closure and she'd be able to start picking herself up and moving on.
Yeah.
Right now, the last time she had seen him or talked to him was September 9th. And we're getting a question that we're talking about. She's been thinking about this, wondering if she should call or not call or this or that or the other for the last month.
Right. Right.
Right. And it would be a simple conversation. He could actually validate her in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And, by rejecting her.
By being honest.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's two-sided. It's the ghoster have some strength to step into uncomfortableness and have those conversations because it's the right thing to do. That's integrity. The ghosted have some strength to process the pain, to deal with the rejection. You've been rejected, face the reality of it, and know that life will move on. There's hope. And I know if you've been dating for a long, long time and you're sick and tired of the dating scene and this happens, it can feel hopeless. But process that, those feelings, and move forward. And so that's the two sides to it. Don't grovel, don't beg, don't wait for your worth to be given to you by someone you're dating, but work through your stuff.
And as you work through your stuff, continue to put yourself into the arena that you're in right now, that just because this one didn't work out doesn't mean it won't. I used to have a roommate, one of my best friends from college, and he got a nickname. His nickname was, even though it's a whole sentence, his nickname was 101 Dates But No Girl.
That's because, a long because, nickname.
Yeah. Yeah, because every single day he'd like go to like the computer lab or the library or the cafeteria and he'd pick out like the cutest girl in the building and he'd go ask her out.
And he had no fear.
And he got well, most of the time he just got flat out rejected. Some of the time he got ghosted. But somehow he just had this ability to just bounce back and just keep putting himself in the arena. And you know, it's all panned out for him in the long run.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, yeah. And it can't help but pan out in the long run when you just put yourself in the arena of life and go for it, right? And so he was able to manage that rejection. And in doing so, he was able to keep going and putting himself there until he found the right fit.
Right.
So I got another question with this question, Brandon, that I wanted to talk to you about. Her question, in some ways, was, would it be appropriate for me to reach out in some way? What do you think?
Would it be appropriate for me to reach out to him in some way?
You, Brandon. She wants you to know. I'm saying, would it be appropriate for her to reach out to him in some way? She's basically saying, I want to get some closure. I've been ghosted. Is it appropriate for her to do anything? And if so, what would be some type of an appropriate response?
I don't think it's inappropriate. I don't think it depends on the nature of the relationship and how far it's progressed. You know, if you've been on a couple dates with someone and they ghost you, it's like, well, you know, maybe you're reading in too much to it. If you've been on, you know, you spent a month, you know, with a person and went on a date every weekend and
Which is what she did.
It was progressing toward more of a relationship, then it's probably appropriate to have some kind of connection. And I think you could send a text. I think you could even make a phone call and just say, hey, I realize you don't want to date me. I just want you to know that this is how I'm feeling. This is where I'm at. And I'm just going to leave it to rest there. What I would be careful of with the texting or the calling is what I was talking about earlier, which is, you know, you're kind of doing it hoping that he's going to turn around and say, oh, actually, let's go out on Friday. Well, don't expect that to happen. Do it out of your own self-care is what I'm saying. If you feel like you need to do it in order to get some closure and to feel this, you need to say something to this person, then do it. That's you acting in your authentic integrity. Do that. That's fine. But leave the expectations out of it.
Okay. And I'd say maybe there's, to add to what you're saying, Brandon, there's one more reason why you would do the reaching out. And this is a hard place to get to, that there'd be a tendency to reach out either for the first reason you said, which is I'm going to try to convince him to come back and get engaged again. And maybe we'll reopen this, or there's going to be a tendency to reach out and to be a jerk and to say,
Let be revenge factor.
Right. Yeah. Right. So if it's for revenge or if it's for to convincing him to come back, then that wouldn't be the reason to reach out. I do think that in addition for your own closure, if you honestly, you're going to know this, if you honestly work yourself to a place where your heart is at peace and you see that there would be some validity to loving somebody enough to give them some honest feedback, and you could also reach out and say, hey, this is how your response has affected me. I hope that in the future that you'll realize that there might be a different way of getting closure, and I wish you the best of luck. But
even do that with no expectation, because he could come back and jerk and be like, well, I did it because you're blankety blank. Or,
right.
But so don't expect anything from him by giving that feedback.
The only reason for giving that feedback is because I care enough about you and I care enough about other people, other women that might be dating you, just to say there's a little bit of feedback for you that you might consider to be able to be more effective. Right. But the reason nobody does that part is because it's really, really hard to get your heart in a place of like, man, I really want the best for this person who's just rejected me.
Yeah.
If you can, you're offering a gift.
Right. It just reminds me, maybe I'm being triggered by Tyler, like the road rage, you know, like somebody does something bad to him on the road. And it's like, well, I need to teach that person that it's not okay what they just did, you know? And what you said is very, very critical. That end part, your heart needs to be in the right place.
The heart needs to be at peace. I get this fight with my wife all the time. I have this like moral justice thing inside of me.
Yes.
And like when I see somebody cut somebody off in traffic, or we went out to dinner the other night, and right as we're getting ready to pull in, there was a little old lady that was like waiting to get into her slot, and some dude whipped in and stole her parking spot. And so I parked around the other way and I saw him getting out of his car, and I started walking straight over to him because I was going to like just kind of educate him on the proper protocol.
You were
going to
get your butt kicked is what you were going to do.
Yeah, probably, you know, get myself shot or something. But I was just going to educate him on what it's like to be chivalrous and actually be considerate of other people. And of course my jaw's clenched and I'm ready to go. My heart's not at peace, obviously.
Yes.
But I'm lying to myself and my wife and saying, it's my duty. Like I have to go do some teaching right now.
No, and, that's caretaking for, yeah.
Yeah. If my heart was at peace and I genuinely love the dude who just cut that lady off.
Yeah.
Then I might go to him and say, hey man, you probably just didn't understand it or see it, but there was an old lady there.
Listen to your tone. Yeah, so much
tone. The tone would be totally different than me going up to him and saying, "Dude, you're a jackass." Like,
right?
And if my heart's at peace, I'm gonna be much more likely to have a better conversation with my wife afterwards too than if my heart's at war with that person.
You're right.
Because I'm not gonna be able to justify anything.
You're right. Yeah, right. That's a good example. So it's the same thing. Like, yeah, you could give him some honest feedback. Just make sure your heart's at peace. So. Yeah. This is a good question. A little different for us.
Yeah.
What a good question. I love dating questions. I actually, believe it or not, I give a lot of dating advice because I counsel a lot of divorced people. And the dating world it's not hopeless, out there. It just almost is. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
It can feel that way sometimes, Brandon, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying earlier is if we would look at it differently, like people think, oh, I've got to date this one person. They're going to be just the right person. It's going to be over. It's like, no, I'm in the sifting pot right now. And it's about the sifting that matters. And so I need to make sure that I burn through a few of these before I figure out the right person. And
that's what it is. Okay. Yep. Over and over again until you find it. So, yeah. All right, you guys, please rate and review, share this episode, and thanks for listening.
You guys have a great week.
See you guys.